Good evening, and welcome to Quick News Briefing. I'm Arjiv, bringing you the latest headlines from around the globe. On this day in history, April 1st, back in 1976, Apple Computer Company was founded by Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Ronald Wayne. A significant moment that truly revolutionized technology and consumer gadgets, paving the way for the digital age we navigate today. Now, looking at today's news cycle, we've got a lot to cover, touching on everything from U.S. elections and international conflicts to humanitarian crises and crucial developments in Indian politics. We're drawing our insights from top sources like BBC News, NPR Topics, The New York Times, U.S. Top News and Analysis, and many others. Joining me to delve into these stories is our intrepid reporter, Arohi. Welcome.
Thanks, Arjiv. Happy to be here.
Let's kick things off with some significant news from the U.S. concerning elections and international relations. President Trump has been making headlines with moves that could reshape America's voting landscape and its global alliances. What can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. President Trump recently signed an executive order aimed at limiting mail-in voting ahead of the 2026 U.S. elections. He's also put considerable pressure on Congress to pass the Save America Act, a measure that would require photo identification and proof of U.S. citizenship to cast a ballot. This signals a clear intent to tighten voting regulations significantly.
And alongside these domestic changes, there are also whispers about a potential shakeup in America's long-standing international commitments. I understand President Trump has been vocal about NATO.
That's right. In a surprising move, President Trump stated he's considering pulling the U.S. out of NATO, labeling the alliance a paper tiger. These comments are the latest in a series of threats to America's allies, particularly after their perceived reluctance to assist in reopening the Strait of Hormuz. It highlights a growing tension between the U.S. administration and its traditional partners.
Shifting our focus to the ongoing situation in Iran, the president has also been trying to calm nerves about the conflict, but it seems there are still many questions looming. What's the latest on that front?
Indeed. Following a primetime address, President Trump left several key questions unanswered regarding the Iran conflict. The BBC's Gary O'Donohue specifically highlighted some glaring omissions in the president's speech, indicating a lack of clarity that has left many observers wanting more detail.
And how is the conflict playing out on the propaganda front, especially online?
It's quite active. Iranian propaganda has reportedly been homing in on President Trump using creative methods, including Lego memes, to convey its messages. Beyond that, Iran's state media is emphasizing the war's destabilizing impact on the global economy and pointing to the recent surge in energy prices, which have significantly shot up in the U.S.
That certainly paints a picture of a multifaceted conflict. How are global markets reacting to all of this, particularly after the president's recent address?
Asia-Pacific markets, in particular, reversed earlier gains as investors assessed President Trump's speech on the Iran war. During his address, Trump reiterated that the U.S. objectives in Iran were almost met and confidently stated that, "We have all the cards, in the conflict." This mix of confidence and underlying uncertainty is clearly affecting market sentiment.
Moving to some deeply concerning humanitarian news now. We have a tragic story from New York and then an update on international aid. What can you tell us about the death of a Rohingya refugee?
This is a truly somber report. A medical examiner has ruled that the death of a Rohingya refugee in Buffalo was a homicide. An autopsy revealed the man suffered dehydration and hypothermia after Border Patrol agents reportedly dropped him off on a cold night. Governor Kathy Hochul has strongly condemned their actions, calling them cruel and inhumane.
That's a devastating account. And speaking of humanitarian concerns, there are worries about the impact of the UK's recent aid cuts on parts of Africa.
Yes, significant concerns are being raised. In March, the UK announced its intention to trim its global aid budget and set new priorities for 2027. This decision has caused alarm among some countries and organizations, who fear that these cuts, coming on top of existing U.S. aid reductions, could make the situation in parts of Africa truly unsurvivable, potentially leading to widespread loss of life.
A critical situation unfolding there. Let's now turn our attention to India, where there's been a flurry of political activity and election-related developments. Starting with West Bengal, what's happening on the ground there?
In West Bengal, police recently arrested 14 Bangladeshi nationals and recovered fake Aadhaar cards along with Malaysian currency. This comes as the state gears up for polls, highlighting ongoing concerns about security and immigration. Politically, the Congress Party has released a list of 9 more candidates for the upcoming Bengal elections, also replacing one candidate from their earlier announced roster. And on the campaigning front, the ruling Trinamool Congress has rolled out an ambitious, hyperlocal digital strategy to connect with voters ahead of the polls.
A busy election season in West Bengal. What about Gujarat? We're seeing news about local polls and a recent arrest.
That's right. Gujarat's local body polls have been scheduled for April 26, with votes to be counted on April 28. In other news from the state, Gujarat AAP chief Isudin Gurdvi and approximately 30 supporters were arrested after a clash at a police station. Cases have been filed against them following the incident.
Moving south, there's news from Andhra Pradesh and a national discussion on the size of the Lok Sabha.
Andhra Chief Minister N. Chandrababu Naidu has lauded the passage of the Amravati Bill in the Lok Sabha, calling it a moment of honor. On a broader legislative topic, Karthi Chidambaram weighed in on the discussion about potentially increasing the number of Lok Sabha seats, arguing that a larger house is not always effective. He expressed concern that it could lead to a chamber where members simply come and thump our desks and go away, drawing comparisons to legislative bodies in North Korea or China.
And finally, an update from Assam, where Priyanka Gandhi has been campaigning.
Indeed, Priyanka Gandhi has been actively campaigning in Assam, launching a strong attack on the BJP government. She highlighted rising unemployment and people suffering, outlining five key guarantees from the Congress Party for the Assam elections.
Thank you, Arohi, for that comprehensive update on today's top stories. It's been a packed briefing.
My pleasure, Arjav.
Before we sign off, here's a quick, surprising fact for you. Did you know that the shortest war in recorded history lasted only 38 to 45 minutes? It was fought between Britain and Zanzibar on August 27, 1896. Now that's what I call a swift resolution. And that's all the time we have for Quick News Briefing. Join us next time for more updates and analysis from around the world. Until then, have a good evening.